Stacey Corcoran Podcast.
I came to the plate 11,000 times. I got 3,630 hits. But I also made 7,000 outs, and that was a record. If you like somebody and admire them, don't hesitate to tell them that you love them. We love the great fans of St. Louis and Missouri. I appreciate this honor. Thank you very much. One more time. Here we go. One more time. One more time.
Hi, baseball fans. This is John Gordon, the voice of the Minnesota Twins. The lineup for the Polish All-Stars. First base, Ted Kluszewski. Second base, Bill Mazeroski. Shortstop, Tony Kubek. Third base, Whitey Karowski. Catcher, Stan Lapata. Outfielders, Carl Yastrzemski, Stan Musial, and Greg Luzinski. In the dugout, Moose Skowron, Andy Pafko, Walt Dropel, Ron Swoboda, Gene Hermansky, and Tom Pachorin. In the bullpen, Joe Niekro, Eddie Lopat, Ron Paranowski, Ray Narleski, Ray Sadecki. Coaching first base, Roy Matika. Coaching third base, Dick Trzaskowski. And on the mound for the Polish All-Stars, knuckleballer Phil Niekro.
The greatest day in baseball was the day I went to see the Polish All-Stars play the greatest game in history. The stands were filled with all the fans from across the USA. It was the greatest day when the Polish All-Stars played.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Four months until Christmas Day. Hi, everybody. It's the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jconline.com. Cardinals have a day game today, and you get to laugh from the shade at all of those people, all those rich people who have all those field boxes. It's the one day out of the year. It's one day every year where the temperature is like 100 degrees for a day game, and everybody's got those field boxes just burning up. They're just incinerating. And you're like, I'm sitting in the shade. I don't know about you. So you got one of those situations today. 94 degrees at game time today, this afternoon at Busch Stadium. Be interesting to see if anybody shows up. They lost again last night. I mean, it was a nice comeback attempt and everything like that. But, oh, man, this Flaherty thing. Why do you have the little idea way, way back in the deep recesses of your mind that he isn't going to pitch the rest of this year? He didn't make it out of the third inning last night. You know, normally he's throwing fastballs that are approaching 100 miles an hour, and he came out in the third inning and just seemed to be like, and I've been in this situation. I think everybody who's ever been a pitcher in hardball baseball, and I still play, as you know, but the point is this, and don't kid yourself, folks, there's a point once in a while, you know, when you're having control issues, or if you're having some sort of mechanical issue, or if you're hurt, you can't air out your fastball, and so you start guiding it. And he was walking guys and everything like that, and they finally realized something's going on here. Got some shoulder tightness. Just what we need to hear. Other sports news here. Dick Vermeil, finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame next year. You got to believe he's got a real solid shot of getting in. This is a great trivia question, by the way. The famous Doug Flutie Hail Mary pass for Boston College, and if I'm going to go down a limb here and say it was 1985, but I could be wrong, but it's somewhere in there. Brent Musburger did the play-by-play for that. You know who his color guy was in the booth that day for that game on the Doug Flutie pass? Mr. Vermeil. And he said something very interesting yesterday when they were interviewing him. He said, look, if I get in, I deserve it. If I don't get in, I guess I don't. But either way, I'm still going to be banking wine. That was sort of his side hustle during the Rams, you know, heyday. When he got back to Philadelphia, he apparently really, really kicked in with this whole thing. A lot of people don't know this, but after the Rams won the Super Bowl, and then Vermeil came back the next year, and suddenly all the talk was about Mike Martz, Mike Martz, Mike Martz. And, you know, you are never going to convince me that Vermeil was not pushed out of that head coaching job so that Mike Martz could come in. But regardless, Dick Vermeil had all this amazing folklore level stuff happen to him here. And then he went back to Philadelphia and that was it. We never heard from him again. So I was working for the station that was the flagship for the Rams radio network back then. And I said, and occasionally I would do a piece that would air during the pregame show. And so I got on the phone and I called Dick Vermeil's office and I said, hi, Mr. Vermeil. You know, I explained who I was. And I said, you know, fans have not heard from you since all of this happened. It's been many, many months. I think the people of St. Louis would love to hear from you. Would you talk to me for a couple of minutes? He's like, sure, why not? And so I got the very first interview with Dick Vermeil following the entire Super Bowl extravaganza era of Dick Vermeil. And he was very nice and he talked a lot about wine. And those Vermeil years were fun, too. And then he would do his Monday night coaches call-in show. And that was sort of fun, too. He lived and breathed football. Probably barely saw his family during the fall. Slept on the couch of his office at Rams Park. Was working like, 18-hour days. Took the shit seriously. But at the same time, there was something very, very upbeat about the, I've always believed that to at least some extent, a sports team will take on the personality of its head coach. Remember those Tom Landry years in Dallas? He would walk out on the field, the guys would be walking behind him, and they just looked like drones. You know, they looked like CGI, emotionless stormtroopers, complete with the helmets. There were a lot of years while Tony La Russa was managing here in St. Louis where the team was a little bit on the uptight side. But those were the really, really fun years. And then Mike Martz came in, and he might have been an offensive genius, although I think he started believing his own press releases there for a couple of years. But everything was different. You know, and Martz, well, you know, he always walked around like he was constipated. I think the team started to take on some of that constipation. I get pretty stingy, though, when they start talking about halls of fame. You know, it used to be something very, very special. You know, we started with Stan Musial today. Got the Presidential Medal of Freedom back when it meant something. Not when you're handing it out to goons like Rush Limbaugh and Jim Jordan got it. Oh, yeah, Jim Jordan got a Presidential Medal of Freedom a couple of weeks ago. They did it in a private ceremony. I think it was at the White House. So a lot of people don't know it. And it's maybe I should just shut my mouth, because when people hear that Trump gave Jim Jordan the Presidential Medal of Freedom, further cheapening the goddamn thing, they're not very happy. But I get really stingy when it comes to the halls of fame. And do I think Dick Vermeil belongs in? I believe yes is the answer to that. Normally, I just sort of tack on the celebrity birthdays of the day near the end of the podcast. But today, I'm going to do it right now. And the reason why is because I'm just determined that half of the entertainment universe was born on this day. Blake Lively from Gossip Girl, 34. Rachel Bilson. I used to think she was the shit, man. She was in that movie Closer with Zach Braff, 40 today. Claudia Schiffer, 51. Blair Underwood is 57. Billy Ray Cyrus. Now he's complaining about his achy, breaky prostate, 60 today. Director Tim Burton, 63. I had the pleasure of interviewing him for that first Batman movie he made. Elvis Costello, 67. Rob Halford, Judas Priest, is 70. Gene Simmons of Kiss, 72. John Savage, great actor. The Deer Hunter, The Onion Field. Oh, man, what a movie that was. Godfather Part 3, Do the Right Thing. John Savage, 72. Mr. Mustache himself, Raleigh Fingers, is 75. And I have to say, one of my favorite actors. I've never seen this guy give a bad performance. He was in the original Alien. He was the flight instructor in Top Gun. And he played the dad in one of my guilty pleasures, Ice Castles. He was also in Contact with Jodie Foster. That movie was directed by Bob Zemeckis. Went to college with him at Northern Illinois University, as a matter of fact. But Thomas Garrett's a great actor. 88 today. Wizard of Oz opened on this date in 1939 to lukewarm reviews. 46 years ago today, 1975, Springsteen released his third album, Born to Run. It had the title track, obviously, Thunder Road, She's the One, Jungle Land. That was 1975. 45 years ago today, 1976, Boston released their self-titled album, The One with Everything, More Than a Feeling, Peace of Mind, Foreplay, Long Time, best-selling debut album of all time. Graceland came out on this day, 1986, 35 years ago today. And it was 27 years ago today, 1994, Jimmy Buffett's plane flipped over after taking off from Nantucket. He swam to safety. And sometimes the sun goes round the moon. Sometimes the snow comes down in June. I've saved the best for last. Rachel Ray celebrating birthday number 53 today.
There's hardly a television station in America that doesn't have some sort of cooking show or cooking segment, but yours started to take on a life of its own. What was that moment where you said to yourself, wait a minute, this could get really big?
Well, you know, I don't know that I had any one moment. We started in a small market, Cowan and Lobel in Albany, and just from the start of the cooking class, I thought, well, gee, this is so funny. I'm not even a chef, and all these people. Every week we would sell out, and we would have everybody from football players to girls getting married to, you know, Girl Scouts to retired people. I mean, the appeal of the idea of being able to cook fast meals really always struck me as, amazing that people would come and want a cooking class in how to make very simple, foods. The shock point came when the Food Network called. I mean, literally the first thing out of my mouth at the Food Network meeting that I walked into the room, sat down and said, I don't belong here. You know what I mean? So, I mean, everything in the whole process has been a surprise, an absolute shock to me, but I'm having the best time. I have the best job in the world, and I wouldn't trade it for 50, you know, lottery tickets, all of them winners.
I'm Rachel Ray. Let's go grab some of that meat.
Let's just try and ease him out of there.
Awesome. Look at that. It's the size of my head. You could barely fit your fingers around it. Size matters. Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to belly up to this one. Ooh, he's good. He's good to go.
Just pick it up with your hand.
Oh.
Just grab him. Rub it in your hand and just gently pull backwards like that.
You want to hold it at the top just like that and just pull very gently. You just give it a light squeeze. Give it a toss with my fingertips. Give it a little twist just to help it along a bit.
Get the juices flowing in there.
Grab it nice and firm. Just yank it. There you go. Trust me, it's an inanimate object. It's not going to go anywhere. Get a good handle on it.
Give it a good whack. I'm going to moisten that. Drizzle with a little oil. Just coat it all. Get right down to the bottom. Okay, I've got that greased up pretty well there. Greased up and ready to go. Just keep working it. And really put your shoulder into it. Keep your fingers curled under on that other hand. Gosh, I really enjoy this. This is such a fun theme, and it's really cool to do this in your backyard. Something you could do for your boss, or for a special occasion, or for entertaining. For a great date night at home, too. Look at the pretty color that becomes. It's gorgeous, huh? I'm just gonna give it a taste. Mmm. Oh man, that is fantastic. Nice, even strokes. Here's the big finish. And it gets messy in a minute. Stand back now, I don't want to splatter you. I'm finishing it off. Come on, baby, there you go. And oh yeah, all of a sudden, whoo, another one of them facials. Give it a little shimmy shake, get some of that out. Oh, that one had a lot to give us, huh? Look at that.
Yummy.
It's very salty and very delicious. It comes out of your pores, so of course I always end up smelling like a salami, but it's so worth it. Oh, I just love it. Very proud of that one. That was a good one. Come on, buddy. Oh, well, if he's not coming off of my hand, he's not coming off of my soup, right? Wow. Look at the size of this sausage.
Oh, my gosh. Look at the size of that.
Don't look at it. Don't peek at it. Don't force it. Just let it happen.
because it takes a big mouth to get around this. Hey, you don't have to worry about dessert tonight, guys, because guess what? You're it.
Sounds huge, but you know what? I think I can handle it.
Just pop them off when you get home. It takes 2 seconds. They're so big and beautiful and large, and they're super sweet. Just pick up and down from your shoulder and keep rocking back and forth over it. Look, how good does that look? Looks amazing, doesn't it? Rub it all around, and now we're going to let it hang out nice and tight. Came together fast, huh?
People always think I surgically edited those things, and I didn't. All I did was slap them together. I did not change the essence of anything she ever said. The only edits I made were connecting all of the individual pieces together. She said all of that. All right, what else we got? News on Bob Odenkirk. Apparently briefly appearing on an online comedy show sometime in the last couple of days by phone. He said he was doing better. That's good. Showtime said Dexter is their jewel in their crown. And here's the quote, "We didn't do it justice in the end," end quote. Well, no shit. And also the possibility of a spinoff or continuation of the new season has not been ruled out. Maya Rudolph, Andy Samberg, going to be hosting a holiday baking competition show called Baking It on Peacock. Teams will compete in holiday-themed challenges and will be judged by a panel of opinionated real-life grandmothers. What? I can't say that I'm surprised to hear this. The kid on the cover of Nirvana's Nevermind album is 30 years old right now. This is the little kid, well, it's a baby, immersed in water, and it's little baby little peckers hanging out. Well, he's suing. He's suing everybody. The band, the photographer, the record labels. He calls the picture child pornography, and he wants some cash. And if you go to see Wolfgang Van Halen and you figure, well, maybe he'll do some sort of tribute to his dad, don't count on it. He responded to people who want him to honor his dad by playing Van Halen songs. And here's the quote. "I honor my dad by existing and doing what I do every day. I'm not fucking playing Panama for you guys," end quote. And of course, the Charlie Watts thing, you know, I've been saying this forever. I've been saying this for the last 10 years. We are entering into a period where it's going to be nothing but this. You know, it's just going to be musician and cultural icon, one after another, just dropping like flies. Everybody's in their 70s or even 80s now, and they're all gonna go. Yes, even Keith Richards. Charlie Watts died yesterday in London Hospital. He was 80. And it's sort of amazing, too. I always wait to see on the network news because I watch the network news at 5:30 every day because I really think, I don't know, I think I get something out of this snapshot of the world in 22 minutes. And if I didn't watch the network news, where would I get the opportunity to enjoy that Ozempic commercial? If I ever murder anybody, I'm going to use that as my defense. The Ozempic commercial, it just made me want to kill. But, you know, I mean, think about these guys. These guys are not going to live forever, and we did a bad thing. It's like a baseball team that has all veteran players, and that's great while they're in their prime, and suddenly they're all in their mid-30s, and the entire clubhouse smells like Ben Gay, and you realize, well, we just sat here and enjoyed all this. But it was irresponsible because we didn't bring enough rookies in to mix in with the veteran players, and now our team is too old, and now what do we do? It's a little bit of a stretch, but that's the idea here. Everybody's in their 70s and 80s now. Couple of 60s here and there, and a lot of these people, I don't need to tell you this, it's not something you don't know, have been really, really mean to their bodies over the years, and that probably affects their life expectancy too. But Jagger, Paul McCartney, Ringo, Elton John. Just think about all the people we're going to lose, probably, in the next 10 years. But I mentioned the network news last night, and when somebody with the star power of the Rolling Stones passes away, that's going to make a little piece on the network news. And it must be sort of hard, depending on what other news stories are going on. If it's a busy news day, it becomes more complicated than if it's a light news day, and there aren't many light news days these days. But you know, they did a nice little tribute piece on NBC last night with Lester Holt, and you just sit there and you go, wow,
80 years on the planet, millions and millions and millions of records sold, and it comes down to a little 60-second piece on the network news, and then that's it. I remember thinking about that at my dad's service up in Wisconsin. It's like 30 people sitting around a table. That's it. That's it. Guy lives into his mid-80s. I guess it's better than nothing. Some people die alone, and there ain't anybody around to pay any tributes to him. Maybe I shouldn't complain, huh? Let's see if Garth Brooks gets the Dixie Chicks treatment from his fans. You have to show proof of vaccination to get in. All those country fuck Trump supporters who like country music, and they show up and they're like, what you mean? I ain't gonna get no Bill Gates computer chip put in me. Speaking of conspiracy theories, Spike Lee has questions about how the Twin Towers fell on 9/11. He's not sure he's buying the government's explanation. And then there is Tony Hawk, the skateboard guy who has a new limited edition skateboard with some of his actual blood mixed in with the paint that painted it. It's already sold out, by the way. Remember the name Herschel Walker, running back at the NFL, and then the whatever were those scab football teams, those leagues and stuff. Herschel Walker, big Trump supporter, going to run for the Senate in Georgia. There's a new Candyman trailer, but you can only see it if you say Candyman five times. Also, the original Candyman, Tony Todd, got stung by bees 27 times over the course of the three original movies. John Cleese from Monty Python making a documentary about the cancel culture. Rob Lowe hosting a Netflix comedy special about Hollywood cliches. Showtime's upcoming series Yellowjackets looks sort of wild. It's about women coming to terms with what they had to do to survive when they were high school soccer players involved in a plane crash in the wilderness. Sort of like a female version of a sequel to that movie Alive about those South American rugby players who crashed in the Andes. Eating good at the top of Mount Hood. Would you like a leg or a thigh or a hand? Nah, I'm good. I'm good over here. And I love this story. Boy, the Cubs, you talk about the wheels coming off of something. The Cubs, just, oh, man. Man, they're like 22 games out of first place. No chance of anything. They trade half the team away. Just happens to be all your good players. What did they expect? Throughout the season, every Major League Baseball team is set to see some changes made to their top 30 prospects. They have this thing, you know, the MLB pipeline. So it happened on Tuesday. Outfielder Nelson Velasquez rose up to the number 30 slot for the Cubs farm system rankings following the promotion of left-handed pitcher Justin Steele. Remember that name, Justin Steele. Major League Baseball Pipeline official Twitter account sent out a message to relay the news of the switch in Chicago's rankings. Unfortunately, the tweet mistakenly said that Riley Steele graduated, not Justin Steele. Riley Steele. Riley Steele is a porn star. Female. So the question becomes, the guy who issued this press release was watching porn. Because why else would you just change that name from Justin to Riley? Guy's got porn on the brain. My daughter is getting ready to turn 12 next month. And any holiday, she gets very, very excited. And even though we're in the waning days of the month of August, but she's had like the plastic pumpkins and holiday decorations out for 2 or 3 weeks now. Pumpkins, squash, and gourds, all technically the same species. It's something called Cucurbita pepo. Cucurbita pepo, a species that originated in Mexico more than 10,000 years ago. A new poll found 80% of Americans think the summer of 2021 has sucked so far. 48% of us still wish we could extend it another 2 weeks, though. 27% say they'd rather have a root canal than relive the past summer. Remember last spring, especially when they lifted the mask stuff? And everybody thought, this is going to be just a boink fest. Summer of 2021 is going to just be people humping on the bar. Didn't turn out that way, did it? According to a new study, every year the average American spends $1,400, almost $1,500 on groceries they never eat before ultimately tossing them in the garbage. They got that number by determining what we waste, which is about 18.2% of the groceries we purchase. And on average, we spend $8,200 at the store every year. So you just do that basic math and you come out with the number. The most commonly wasted foods, fruits, vegetables, dairy products, followed by grains, proteins, and snack foods. 76% of people say they feel guilty about it because it's a waste of money, and yet 46% admit to buying and tossing the same items every month, thinking they'll eventually getting around to eating it. Some tips for avoiding this: shop alone, don't shop while you're hungry, stick to your list. The pandemic has changed our daily habits in a lot of ways, and here's one more. A lot of women don't want to wear makeup anymore, and the effect might stick even as people get back into the offices. I already told you, I've been doing a lot of traveling the last few weeks. It's astonishing how many women are going without bras these days. Anyone who orders a Lyft XL in New York, L.A., or Atlanta this week could get picked up by the Wienermobile instead. Lyft and Oscar Mayer are partnering for it, and it's totally random, so you can't reserve it. It's a great idea. These self-righteous pricks say, well, you know, there's a 98% chance I recover from COVID if I get it, so I don't wear a mask or get a vaccine. I just walk around. If I get it, I get it. Well, that makes you a selfish prick. Doctors and nurses across the country are becoming very overworked again because unvaccinated Americans with the Delta variant are packing hospitals. Watch the news. It's on every night. The ICU at Salem Hospital in Oregon is completely full, so they've set up a plate-smashing booth at the hospital for stressed doctors and nurses to blow off a little steam. One nurse named Lisa said they just put on safety glasses and start shattering dinner plates. She said she keeps going back again and again. They finally told her, you've had enough turns. A Washington State jail giving inmates 10 free packs of ramen noodles in exchange for getting the vaccine. It's called Soups for Shots. And so far, the jail has given out 900 packets of ramen to 90 inmates. Purdue University welcoming the largest freshman class ever, and they're reportedly struggling to find places to put them. Sounds like the beginning of a good porn movie. And need a place to stay? An Alaska Airlines flight was evacuated in Washington State on Monday after a passenger's cell phone caught fire. It happened in the cabin while the plane was waiting at the gate. Nobody was hurt. The world's fastest accelerating roller coaster is in Japan, and it's been shut down for now because people keep breaking their bones as the coaster reaches super death speed. Let's build a roller coaster powerful enough to break people's bones. What could possibly go wrong? And people still really upset about this whole thing about OnlyFans. The CEO of OnlyFans said they had to get rid of porn because of unfair treatment from the banks. The only banks that were treating them well were sperm banks. Hey, I got a million of them. And a joke like that is God's way of telling you to end the podcast. That's it for Wednesday, the 25th of August, 2021. Watch that heat today. And if you're going to the day game with Cardinals and Detroit at Busch Stadium this afternoon, well, it's been nice knowing you. All right, we're here Monday through Friday. This is absolutely free. Please spread the word to fans of the old show that we are here doing the podcast every morning at jcontheline.com. Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.